When I used that illustration, she felt like I was sounding contradictory, like, you know, the will doesn't matter, but sometimes God lets people die. That was not my intention in sharing those two stories. To me, it seemed that way. When I heard that story, I'm like, man. And what I was using that story for, no matter what it seems, I can't let that build a doctrine in me that makes exception for God's will to heal. And that was what I was trying to convey. So it was troubling her that I even used the phrase, I believe that it seemed that way. But I'm being honest, to me it did seem that way, even though that's the last thing I'm believing and going after. So what I was sharing with Alon on the break is, the reason I use that illustration is when I go into a situation, I can't let those experiences and whatever seems to be have a voice. I have to let the finished work of Christ and the Word of God have the voice. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's just too easy to start painting scenarios and pictures and past testimonies and start, everybody has experiences. And when you start teaching these things, you'd be amazed when I travel and I teach certain things, then people come up and they crowd around at the end and they'll say, yeah, but what about this? I had a friend that this, and well, we had somebody we prayed for in this, and they share all these scenarios of things and ask you to address that. And it's like, whoa, you can't address based on everybody's different scenarios and the way they're conveyed and interpreted. And so the reason I actually used that it wasn't my intent. So if it unsettled her, it might have done that to somebody else, unless you're just unique. We love you. No, it's very possible that other people might have thought that sounded contradictory. I didn't mean to be contradictory. What I'm trying to say is this. No matter what that scenario seemed like, I can't let that build an acceptance in me to just let it up to what people say and feel in their time of crisis. I can't give exception to just say, well, if they don't want to, if it's not their will, because you don't know where their will's coming from. I thought we established that part clear. But I wasn't sharing the story to compromise or as if, you know, there was a compromise in the story, that no matter what that story seemed like, I have to be careful. I don't build a doctrine and build on them two experiences, because there's like three more, and start building on those experiences and then go into a room with that in the back of my mind thinking, well, I'll do this, but you know, if they don't want to be, they're not going to be. That's what could happen to us. That would be deception. Utter deception. Okay? So I didn't share that story. I shared that story because as real as it seems like it's making a certain message, you can't let it subvert your faith and belief that it's God's will to heal, period. Yes. Period. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Y'all okay? Okay, Mark?
Well, when you talk about God's will is always to heal, and I believe it is, it's like it's always my will that my children obey me, but they don't always do it. But it's always my will that they would. Then you get into the concept of is God sovereign? Does he control everything and all that kind of stuff? And I've heard you address that before, but I think that's really important in this whole thing about how much is in our hands versus in God's hands. And that, I think that's an important concept.
Well, I'm pretty aggressive on my answer in that. I feel like Jesus has made that very clear. He actually said, I give you all power over all the power of the enemy. He gives us authority. He gave us the kingdom rules. So I actually personally believe, without taking some overbearing responsibility, I believe this thing has been given to us, the kingdom, and I believe we're called to represent Christ in every situation. I actually believe very little has to do with God at this point. That's what I personally believe.
And that's a huge change for most of the...
But here's what happens. If you make it God, then it's always going to, and I'm not saying this in a rude way, it's going to cop us out and back us out. Without intentionally having excuses, we're going to have reasons for not seeing results.
That's exactly right.
And we're just going to have a whole list of why it doesn't happen. And in that place, watch what you do in that place. You totally lose sight of faith. You have no faith. You've reduced the gospel to a method. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Let's pray and see. That's what we do. And that the church has been paralyzed there virtually for generations. You follow what I'm saying? Because we were going to look at scriptures here about God giving us the kingdom, and He says in Luke 10, he's saying to John and Dean, he's saying, I give you authority. The word is authority. In your translation, it might just say power. It says, I give you power to tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, Dean and John, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Do you see why identity is important and living free from fear? Do you know that most Christians feel vulnerable living in the world? Because their revelation isn't living in the kingdom, they're living in the world. And newspaper articles can eat your lunch, and just one little tidbit of natural knowledge can supersede spiritual truth. And most Christians, the things, I believe this with all my heart, I've been seeking the Lord on this actually, and the word I keep getting is vulnerable. My people feel vulnerable to the world they live in. They feel vulnerable to disease. They feel vulnerable to plagues. They feel vulnerable, and they feel like they have to pray to be protected when they're already in me. A lot of our prayer is a sign of being vulnerable. You don't have to pray about something that you're not vulnerable to because it's already done. Paul got bit by a viper. He didn't pray. He didn't have a prayer meeting. He shook the thing off of his hand and kept talking. Now, if a viper would crawl in here and slide up here and bite one of us in the leg, some of us that didn't even pray in tongues would be trying. Because you would be afraid they're going to die. Because natural knowledge says you get bit by a poison snake, you're in trouble. So when the natural knowledge meets spiritual truth, you'll find what you're seated in more. That's why we need a revelation. Because spiritual revelation, spiritual knowledge has to trump this natural stuff. Look, when somebody's dead, they're dead. But the gospel doesn't seem to honor that. But when somebody's dead, they're dead. You're done. Dead. Done. Dead. But when your God, resurrection power, resurrection life, when you stop the funeral of a widow's son, it doesn't seem to matter to spiritual truth that he's dead. And this is stuff that doesn't make us fanatical. It's stuff we need to look into and be formed in, because that's where the power of God's going to be found. And it's not about just trying to put on a show and bust into the morgue and raise the dead. It's spiritual truth that overtakes natural understanding, and it rises above, and it's the spontaneous result. Jesus didn't build himself up to stop that funeral. To him, it was the natural thing to do. Do you agree? He looks and he sees a widow and her son, knowing if she's a widow, it wasn't long ago, it was her husband. And now it's her son. So the husband, and now the firstborn, probably the inheritant, the inheritor, just the mercy, the compassion of God, mercy towards the woman, the son. There's all kinds of stuff involved there. It's the whole picture. None of it's God, the fact that they're all dead. And he walks over there and he raises the boy up. It was the natural thing to do. You get it? But to us, when you're dead, you're dead. So now they're dead. Now we're trying to raise the dead. And they're dead and need them live. And we're doing stuff and life and speaking. And we're listening to testimonies and saying stuff. You'd be amazed how much we're trapped in methods and trying to get this thing to work. I'm a firm believer that the gospel works when revelation rises in the spirit and takes over natural knowledge. Yeah. That's right. And it's through relationship. It's through knowing him. I'm just convinced of that. How many of us have tried to apply promises in the scripture to our situations and not seen anything move like a lot? True? That's all of us, if we were honest, would raise our hands if we spent time praying. It's about a revelation. But the Lord had showed me this, that many of us feel vulnerable. So what Mark's saying is very important, because when we just say it's God, well, God chose, well, God wills, well, God sovereignly this and that, then we're absolutely handing the kingdom he gave us back to him and saying, look, it's in your hands, you're God. We think that's the humble thing. A lot of men's minds think that's the humble thing. They say, well, he's God, whatever he wants, whatever. He already proved what he wanted through Jesus. He already showed us by sending his son in the likeness of flesh, baptizing him in water, putting the Spirit of God upon him, and then telling us to follow him. He already showed us what he wanted. He showed us when he created man in his image and said, subdue the works of my hands. So see, when Jesus came, he came to restore that which Adam lost. So now it's back to Genesis, before sin, subdue the works of his hands. So to do that, he gives us the kingdom, and he gives us authority over his name, the authority of his name over all things, over every name. And he tells us this, to never worry and never fear. And the two things that dominate the lives of Christians are fear and worry, to prove that we have a very low revelation of who we are in him. Doesn't mean we don't love him. It doesn't mean we're not sincere Christians. It doesn't mean we're not born again. But it does mean our identity has been in crisis. And the foundation of fear is not what releases the power of God. It's the foundation of love. Rooted and grounded in love. It says the sower sows the word. There's people that just go, huh? Right? Huh? And it says it's quickly gone. Right? They're not even going, huh, anymore. It's like it's just snatched away. And then it says there's people, stony ground, there's no root in them. And the heat of the day, the pressures of life, not rooted in ground love. Boy, I thought you loved me. Man, I thought this was good news. Well, this ain't going like I thought. They turn self-word, inward, all this stuff. There's thorns, desires, pleasures, things choke out. There's all conditions and things of the heart that determine how the word is seated and growing in a person's life. Isn't that amazing? But in that whole picture, guess who's the same? And guess whose will's the same? Guess whose intent and desire is the same? See, we've made God, we've put God as almost he's some big mystery. And there's a mystery side to God. He's unsearchable in his wisdom. So that's what makes him God. So, but it's the joy is the many faceted side of God keep flashing and revealing and showing, right? So there's a mystery side in that way, but really the cat's out of the bag. The mystery's revealed. Paul writes, the mystery's revealed. The truth about who God is made known through Christ. The truth about who we are is made known through Christ. And where it all sits now is revealed through Christ. We're the body of who? If we're waiting on God, why is he telling us to go whatever city we're in and heal the sick there? If we're waiting on God and God, it doesn't say as long as I choose to heal. He's telling us wherever we are, heal the sick. Why? Because we're supposed to know the kingdom's come. We're born again. We're transformed. We're brought back to original value. The Spirit of God is in us. This thing is back to the beginning. You get it? He's telling us that. Why, if it's just about God, why would we lay our hands on the sick and they recover? It actually doesn't even say pray. It just says lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means you could be on a bus and understand what we're saying and not just be doctrinal and intellectual and just trying to do this stuff. You could be on a bus and somebody's hacking and wheezing and you say, hey man, and you just rub their shoulder and they go, what?
Yes.
That's awesome, ain't it? You felt that leave you, didn't you? Yeah, what in the blank? What? Listen, man, it's the kingdom. Jesus, I can tell you a lot of testimonies. I don't tell a lot of personal testimonies a lot because the tendency is, actually, I think my biggest challenge and struggle is I don't ever want to back off. Because there's so much more for me to grow and I am so far from where I'm called to be. There's things that aren't happening that need to happen. At the same time, I've been privileged to experience a lot of stuff. And there's a paradox when you experience a lot of stuff because if people aren't experiencing a lot of stuff and you are, you tend to kind of be an example of certain things. So that and I am like, so I need to grow so much. But in that one topic there, I can tell you a story that I was just saved a while and I was around a man and I was on a job. And he had the flu. And I didn't say one word about Jesus. Not one word, because I was on the job and they were training me. And I was just listening and being a good student. Like you all are. And just listening, being good students. And the supervisors came to take this man home because he wouldn't leave. I mean, he's got serious flu symptoms. He's white. He's pale. He's weak. But he's trying to be faithful and do the job. Because this flu was going around and they're trying to get this business up and running in this new warehouse. And I had done this job for 15 years, which put me in a place of humility because this guy training me did the job about 2. And I did it 15. And it's not like you sit there and say, well, what are you going to teach me? So I'm just, I'm laying so low on these people, right? Because everything he's telling me I could teach. And I'm just going along. And they came to get him and they said, man, you don't look too bad. In fact, you look a whole lot better, man. We came to send you home. We were going to take you home because you shouldn't be in here. We were figuring in. This was the higher upper guys. He said, no, I've been feeling good, man. He said, I can't explain it, but it's that guy. Pointed right to me. I'm on the job with a team of 8 coworkers, and I'm just there. And I didn't realize he was standing around me the whole night near me. He said, it's that guy right there. I can't explain it, but the more I stand around him, the better I feel. I've noticed it in the beginning of the night, and I've been hanging beside him all night, and the more I stand around him, the better I feel. I smiled and said, I can explain. That's exactly what I did. I said, guys, I can explain. This is simple. And they're like, what? So then I got to preach the gospel, and they're like, oh my God. Because on my orientation, I just told him I was in love with Jesus and he saved my life. And that's really the scoop about me. And they were like, oh my goodness. And nobody wanted to be on my team. Everybody went out the other door. It was like I had a plague. But that man got healed. I never prayed. I was at work one time. I had a lady run to me. She came around the corner and she said, oh my, oh my. She grabbed my hand, put it on her jaw. And went, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. I'm like, I was so used right there. I was just like, and I could feel the Spirit of God tangibly flowing through my arm. And she was a girl that when I got saved, she got so convicted because I got on fire. And she was a confessing Christian kind of living in the closet. And she was just kind of getting through. And she wasn't seeking hard after God. But she had everything that's alive in us in her spirit. And she got convicted by my life. And it was a good thing. It was positive. And she's doing well. And she's in the Lord. I bump into her every once in a while. And she's plugged into a local church. And she's doing good. But that night, she was leaving with an abscess. And it was draining into her bloodstream, they said, because of the way it was starting to get her. She was holding off, didn't want to get anything done. And they started telling her on the phone, you need to get in here right away. If that stuff hits your bloodstream and goes to your brain and da da da, and you will die. And she's like, oh. So she's ready to leave work. Now watch what she did. She's ready to leave work. Who knows? She has the ability in grace to receive the love of God and to receive from God. So we're not judged whether that's happening or not, because it says, if any among you are sick, let them ask. So there's a place where you say, man, you know, I just want to grab somebody that I know believes like I'm pursuing to believe and da, da, da. This is what she did. She got to the door and she went, I know Dan believes. In fact, if I could get his hand on my jaw, that abscess would go away. That's what she said. Now, she didn't tell me to pray for her. Probably good. Because I'm learning through all this. Because if she'd have said, Dan, I know you believe God, would you? I'd have tried to be a believer, maybe. Release my faith. Pray the good prayer that makes her whole. Did we ever do that stuff in our lives? Yeah. Here's what she did. She just came and used Christ in me. She just ran. Serious. I'm not exaggerating this or even trying to make it balloon it at all. I'm working on a back dock, on a rail dock, and I'm stacking these big things. And because they used to put all the big stuff back there. She come running around the corner and said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. She come waddling up to me and I'm like, and she would walk like that. She would do like this real, you know, fast. And she grabbed my hand, never said a word of what she's doing, believing, needing. She just grabbed my hand because her faith said, I see God in him. I know he knows Jesus. Not that she didn't know Jesus. She just saw him in me in a way that she was honoring. She grabbed my hand, laid it on her cheek, and started shaking, crying, going, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I literally felt the tangible flow of God's Spirit flowing through my hand. Why? Because he lives in me. I have no knowledge of what's happening. I don't know her prayer request. I don't know nothing. But I know, and I remember feeling silly inside, and I looked up and like, could you explain what's going on? I'm being used. I was like having fun with it. I felt I'm being used right now. And I loved it. It was awesome. She is crying so hard. Watch what happened. The abscess went away, disappeared while she's holding my hand on her going, oh. All she was recognizing, she wasn't making me an idol. She wasn't making me an icon. She was recognizing Christ in me. Yes. Probably more so than she was feeling in herself, because we tend to do that. But it was amazing how that revelation, how that faith, how when she took my hand, she was healed instantly. Now, here's the cool thing. I had nothing to do with it. Watch. Like, I believe we have very little to do with it, very little, in most cases. The only thing we're called to do is believe His love for them, His will to heal them, and now is the time. Is that what we're called to believe? I don't know anything else that we're called to believe. We've turned it into all this stuff. We've made it so complex. Wonder if it's as simple. Wonder if that faith that she saw that caused her to grab my hand would be alive in my heart all the time, to the place that I would take that same hand and just do the same thing everywhere. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Do you get it? That's the plan. So there's just cool stories like that. Like, there's cool stories. But that was really, really a fun one. And let's get back to this quick. Because here, this will help with Mark, what Mark said. Because what Mark said is really important. Because there's a lot of that. You'll find that in the church. And it's actually what puts us at odds as the body of Christ. Because we almost separates us into groups. It's a shame. It happens. And then there's animosity and actually offense because of loss and certain things, and we embrace certain cliches and spiritualities to crutch up our soul in the face of pain and loss. We really do. And then we have this thing locked, and we have it as if it was God and God's sovereignty and God's control. And then even though it's hard, we can at least accept it. And if anybody would suggest that it was just loss, or it was through the fall, or it was a lack of authority or power, that is so offensive to people that have lost loved ones. So it's very difficult. We have ourselves so boxed in now with all these cliches. It's here's how you know it's demonic. It's almost hard to preach the truth without. You get what I'm saying? I believe the enemy has us so soulically boxed in with all our scenarios, analogies, lost loved ones, all our stories, that when you hear the truth, you almost have to guard against it. Because if what you're saying is true, then, and it unsettles all the stories and all the things we've laid as foundation. You follow what I'm saying? I felt almost rigid the last time I did a Saturday night down there. I just felt, I don't know, it was different. I don't know who was here, but I felt real serious, real sober, and like what I was saying was life and death. It felt that serious. It felt so sober to me. I wasn't even having fun sharing the message. It was painful. You know, and it's just, you still have to share it. But it's all I had permission to share, the things that were coming to me. And I didn't even like where I was. I felt like I was in a stiff place, but it was very confrontive, and it almost just seemed like this. And this is why it's so important not to love our own lives unto death, or we'll never embrace this gospel. We'll find ourselves saying things to protect something about us instead of surrendering. We do it all the time. That's the only reason we would put it on God. That's the only reason we would put it on somebody else. Without intentionally doing it, they subtly become reasons why there's no power. And you can't find the language that we say in Jesus at all. Look, if I can't find Him in one instance saying, be healed, and they're not healed, and saying, wow, you know you're going to have to take heart because God is obviously choosing not to do this. But if you could find God, Jesus, doing that one time in the Bible, then we'd have reason to say that. The reason He couldn't do that, now it's just simple, this thing, this part's simple. The reason He couldn't do that is because if He did that just one time, you could never believe according to Bible faith. Never. If just one time He said, I'd like to, but I can't, for whatever reason, then you would wonder, if you go to pray here, if that might not be the case. Well, if I go to pray here, well, I wonder if she doesn't fit into this scenario. Especially if you start praying and you don't see anything change immediately. Then your mind spins and tries to grab a reason why maybe not, and maybe it's one of these reasons. The reason Jesus healed everybody He ever touched, and the reason everybody that ever touched Him was healed, is so you and I would clearly know what to believe now that He's come and gone to sit at the right hand and gave us the kingdom. He made it that simple, and we still fight over it based on God's sovereignty and control and choice and all that. Come on. He gave us no reason to believe anything else. The only reason we believe anything else is because of our experience or lack of experience. But if you look at Jesus' life and Jesus' message and Jesus' word, how can you believe anything else? Because Jesus never conveyed anything else, did he? So we shouldn't fight over this. We should be so humbled by this that we should pursue him all the more and know that it's the will of God to heal and restore.
Try and get this out, but it's not the reason. I don't need Jesus to have shown that, and I'm okay with still saying it. Maybe it's not the Lord's will, and even though I didn't see that, it's because I don't see him. I mean, he was God. Why would he say? I mean, he would know if God was going to heal or not, and so he'd only pray when he knew God was going to heal. I don't see him as a man like me operating in the Holy Spirit. I think he's God. So, of course, it wouldn't happen to him like that because he knows whether he's going to heal or not.
So that's how you grew up seeing him as God? Well, I'm just saying, you have to see him as a man.
That's what I'm saying. Right. And because I wouldn't.
So a lot of people say this. What Wiley's saying is, who's heard this comment before? When you start preaching the life of Jesus, they say, yeah, but that was Jesus. So that was Jesus. It's just us. Well, that was Jesus. And then the people reveal that they're not getting the message of who we are because of him, and that we're the body of. Do you realize he doesn't even say we're the body of Jesus? Christ is the anointed one. It's not his last name. It's the anointing. It's the anointed one. The one that's anointed with the ability to anoint. You can find that connotation in the whole word Christ. The anointed one with the ability to anoint. The one that's anointed with the ability to anoint. We're the body of Christ. That literally means we're the embodiment of God's power, God's anointing. Do you get that? We're the embodiment of God's anointing, God's power. And here we are waiting on God to move when he's already sent his son, put him on the cross, killed him to the point of death, and then raised him from the dead. And now we're justified and to go and live in righteousness. Do you get this? I got like hands everywhere. I don't know what to do. Go ahead.
Okay, when you're praying for people and you go down the line and Jane Doe gets healed, David doesn't, Betty gets healed, Johnny doesn't, what do you do? I mean, you can feel. I don't understand that part.
I don't totally understand that part either. I know this, and this is what you have to take personally. Because to try to answer all those scenarios, you'll get confused. Here's what you have to settle on. You have the grace from heaven to go down that line and touch people when they get healed. Period. That's what I'm pursuing. I was just in a church. Probably 98% of the people were confessing to be healed. That was 3 weeks ago. Three, maybe 4 weeks ago. It was so fun. In fact, the way I asked, I said, who here has received no change? Instead, usually we say, who here is healed? I said, who's received no change? And about 8 people out of 70 to 80 raised their hands. And I went, you guys didn't receive any change? No. I said, man, who's received like somewhat change? About 7 more people raised their hand. I said, who's been completely, totally healed? And all the rest shot up their hands and they're crying and they're talking. And one man that couldn't hardly walk was out running. And there was just a lot of stuff going on. We turned and prayed for the people that didn't receive any change and told them not to switch up. What you prayed the first time is enough because it's what you believe. It's God's will. We're just going to pray again. We're not moving because it's a yes and amen. We're not shifting gears. That's another thing. When you pray and you don't see something change right away and you shift your prayers, that's not a good thing. Because that's actually a form of weakness. You're actually fishing. You're actually in your soul. You're making it about what you say, what you pray. You're actually making it conditional. It becomes works. Come on, stretch forth your hand is what Jesus said to a guy. If his hand didn't stretch forth, what's still the command? It's not trying to gain strength now and say, Father, I just thank you that you love me and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you that your spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me. And Father, I thank you for your righteousness. Stretch forth your hand. You know, if we do that stuff, and if you seem to have to break away and encourage yourself and build up, I'm not saying it's wrong. You have to be careful that you're not making what you say the result of what happens. It's what you believe. It's what you believe. And actually what you believe will come out of your mouth. When you're praying command form stuff, it's because you believe you have that authority. There's some people that pray real long spiritual rosy prayers. When they're praying for the sick, they get real long-winded.
Yeah.
And what you believe is you're trying to win favor and find favor, and or you've been taught certain methods, and you're trying to go through that list. I won't bring up no testimonies because it gets exaggerated every time I tell it. That's what she told me. I don't know. You were praying for like 3 days. No, it was fun. It was cute. Who watched this? She's sincere. I know her. I've gotten to know her. She's as sincere as anybody I know. Sometimes when you're that sincere, things even try to get taken advantage of in your mind and stuff. Satan tries to play on pure people. So don't ever let him, because you're amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah. But it was a simple time in the mall. She was praying for lady's knee, and she went on and on and on and on. And the lady's looking at me, and I'm like, she took a nap in the middle, and I was like, I think I went and got her lunch down at the food court, and she's still praying. She ate lunch. And am I exaggerating the story? Just a little? She's so sincere. She was trying to pray everything God ever taught her, Global ever taught her, everything any book ever taught her. She was praying. She was sincere. Serious. She was praying for the lady, and the ladies looked at me. The lady actually looked at me like, oh, bless her heart, because there was no sign of her stopping. I will say that. She was on a roll, baby. Super sincere. Nobody could deny it. But she was covering bases. And I remember just saying, Alana, honey, I want you to speak to that knee right now and just say, knee, be healed. Be made whole. Pain come out. Bam. She did. And I said, sit down, check your knee. She's like, and the lady, remember? Ooh, she's real sweet. She's like, oh my goodness. No, I just did that. Some of it was selfish. I had to repent later because we'd still be standing there praying, because she's been well taught. She's been well taught. She was only halfway through the first manual. And if I wouldn't have interjected, we'd still be back there. We'd be older, but we'd still be praying. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. She said she loosened the lid. Watch this. The lid is loosened because the stone's rolled away. Serious. But that stuff that sounds right, it seems viable. But we're smashing that. We're getting it. But no, I have fun with that one, because the second time I told it, I had more fun with it. And I think the third time I told it, I had even more fun. And she came up to me and said, you know, this story's getting bigger and bigger. I said, yeah, I was really happy. Forgive me. I have having fun with it.
But I got to tell you, because I know I was going into like all the ligaments, everything. I was covering everything.
There's a time you command. See, you're led by the Spirit, but the key is you're saying to the mountain, there's authority. See, you don't have to get every forefather born again and righteous in the sight of God before you can pray for that person. You don't have to cover everything that your family ever did wrong.
Right.
Jesus did that for us.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
So there is times, and there is still times where I'll just say, be healed in Jesus' name. I encourage people to just pray that. Be healed in Jesus' name. I do. I encourage people to learn to be, because it takes you so out of the way. And there's times where I'll speak to ligaments and I'll speak to things. But see, there's faith in that sometimes. You'll build a faith in certain things where you'll speak to that because you understand you have the authority to do it. When you say to that girl, kidneys, you work. Why did I say that? Because I believe with all my heart that God has given us the kingdom. I believe in all my heart that when I'm looking at her through the eyes of God and the love that He has for her, and I speak kidneys, be behold, that I'm saying exactly what He's saying. Isn't that what He's saying through the resurrection of Jesus? So when I speak that, I'm speaking on behalf of Him as an ambassador of Christ. As a son. Yay. You get it? So there's times and there's faith in that. So you speak that. When you're some of these prayers that we've been taught, you got to cover bases, you got to ask them about unforgiveness and all that stuff. You are setting yourself up for so many conditions of why it might not happen. You have to be very careful. And she wasn't doing that. She was just covering bases that she was taught that she should. And she wasn't even talking to the lady. She was just covering ground. You were.
You did correct me when we left.
I talked to you.
You were like, you know, there's no condemnation about what I'm doing.
I was gracious,
one. You were. And you explained to me, you know, we're in a mall and people don't necessarily believe, and so just keep it short, straight to the point.
And that is all that's necessary.
We're in a church setting, it might
be different. You have a little more, because there's faith. People understand. Some people might need just the conscience of knowing that whatever their family line has done, it's been crushed through Jesus. So she could actually be praying and get that generational thing in her mind and say, listen, do you understand that I'm not against praying something like that to give somebody an assurance, but then I tell them, don't you ever look back. I don't ever want to hear you talk about that again.
Never.
I will. I'll charge somebody with that. I say, don't you in 3 weeks be saying, well, you know, my uncle was pretty much a wretch. Well, Jesus was an amazing righteous man, and he gave you his righteousness. Now, let's get over uncle and know that God's grace is bigger than that.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
When do you move forward? See, so there is a time where I'll say something or pray something just if I feel in my heart that it's important to get somebody over a hump of wrong believing. That's not compromise. That doesn't. In other words, I'll say to them like if they're a generational curse and a hereditary condition and they're afraid of getting it. Here's what I'll do with people. Yeah, but I see it. It's tracked through. It's got my great-grandmother, and it's got my grandmother, and it's got my mother. Okay, I understand that, and I'm not making light of that. I'm not soft-pedaling that. What I'm saying is the line's been drawn through Jesus, honey. Here's all we need to pray. Father, I thank you. I'm separated and sanctified. I'm not in the lineage of my forefathers. I'm in the heritage of God through Christ Jesus, and I thank you. And I'll have her pray a prayer like that. But then I would look her in the eyes and say, no, I don't ever want to hear you talking about that thing again, ever. It's dead. It's done. See, what we do is, here's what we do. We don't get established in truth, and we have those things lingering. They don't get crushed. And then a little symptom comes, or a little feeling, or a little thought, and then we reverb back, and we go, well, yeah, you know. Well, see, I'm not sure if that was ever really dealt with. And then here's what we're doing. You get what I'm saying? You have to be very good. See, it's faith. It's faith. It's truth. It's freedom. So we're not redigging stuff. We're at 12 o'clock. We didn't get real far, it seems, but we did, I guess. We just cover whatever we cover, huh, Wiley? So, but you guys all right? Tomorrow we're going to talk about this healing thing for a while probably. And there's a lot of questions. I don't have all the answers other than the one that I stick to is, It's always yes, it's all the time, and yes, we have the power in us. It is the will of God to heal, and if I touch them, they ought to heal. That's how I live by that.
Amen.
And I preach that with a passion, okay? So we'll see you all tomorrow. Bless you guys.